Thank you, your words are spirit and are life.
Amen.
Lord, we love you and praise you.
Amen.
Consecrate this meeting to you.
Amen.
For your purpose, Lord.
Amen.
In your precious name we pray.
Amen.
Amen, saints. We just finished Genesis chapter 2, verses 10 to 15. Those were the verses we read. And this portion of the word is after the last weeks, or rather the week before, concerning the tree of life. So we need, if we follow Genesis 2, the verses, we will see that whatever we have read this morning is a continuation concerning the week before. We read the verses that is on the tree of life. So in this portion of the word, in Genesis 2, verses 10 through 15, it mentioned a river. A river went forth from Eden to water the garden, and from there it divided and became four branches. So here we see a river. And in verse 9, we didn't read, that was the tree of life in the midst of the garden. So here we see that there is a tree of life, then there is also a river. You know, we have the hymn, maybe you can give me the hymnal. In the hymnal 509, we send this hymn in Friday's meeting. He mentioned that a flowing river and a tree, Eden's outstanding features are man to supply with food and drink, that he may live forever. So we see that a river and a tree, they are the outstanding feature of the Garden of Eden. We may pick up a lot of things, other things God created, but the one wrote this hymn mentioned to us that in the Garden of Eden, the striking thing is a tree and a river. Of course, this tree of life, it mentioned in Genesis 2, then it didn't mention in the Old Testament again until the New Testament. And in the New Testament, in Revelation chapter 3, maybe chapter 2, concerning to the church of Ephesus, it mentioned again the tree of life. We know in the Bible concerning the tree, concerning life, there are three words. And this tree of life is referring to not the plant life, nor the not bios, nor suki, but rather is the joy life. Now it's very interesting. The tree of life, right? Tree is a plant. But you mentioned the tree of life, the divine life. Do you understand? I don't understand. So it's a mystery. In fact, tree of life, the emphasis is not on the tree. The emphasis is concerning the life, because it is a divine life. So God created this man and put in this garden, and in the midst of garden, there is this tree of life. So it's very apparent that God's intention is man should eat this tree to receive the divine life. Then in chapter 2, verse 10, we read this morning, they mentioned that a river went forth from Eden to water the garden. And from there, it divided and became four branches. This verse, if you read, it seems like it's just a river, you know, nothing special. You know, we in New York, we have a Hudson River, right? It's a river. Hudson River flows down, and the waters, you know, On one side is New York, the other side New Jersey, and the waters. If we just read the verses in this way, this verse doesn't have much deep meaning, am I right? It mentioned, of course you read on, you realize it's referring to a physical river, because it goes around, you know, Havilah. Then it goes around Cush. Then it goes east of Assyria. And this river from Eden was divided into four heads or four branches. One of them is Euphrates. And we all know this river of Euphrates. So similarly, it has not much meaning. But thank the Lord that we are reading this verse not just by itself. We are reading this verse according to the whole context of the Bible. And then this verse is very, very meaningful. That's why the 509 was written, even not just with the Garden of Eden in view, but rather it has the whole Bible in view. So this morning I just have a little burden to share a little bit what I enjoy, then you can share what you enjoy. Concerning this tree and the river. Tree is for food, and the river is for drink. If you read on the whole Old Testament and the New Testament, you will see that God's desire is man may receive Him as food and as drink. Even not just in the beginning and throughout the whole Bible, even at the end. So maybe we can read the verses in Revelation 22, verses 1 and 2. And He showed me a river of water of life, as crystal, proceeding out of the throne. On this side, that side of the river, is the tree of life, and the leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations. So here again we see the river, and again we see the tree. So it's not just in the beginning of the Bible, even to the end of the Bible, the same thing. I want to mention another matter. That is, when this river is flowing, in Genesis, it mentioned that there were, in Pishon, you know, the river, the first river, the first branch is Pishon. And it mentioned that when it flows, and there was gold, then there was bdellium and onyx stone. So these three items, along with the tree of life and the river, they are three items. And these three items also mentioned in Revelation. Maybe we can read Revelation 21, 18, 19, and 21. And the building work of its wall was jasper, and the city was pure gold, like clear glass. The foundations of the wall of the city were adorned with every precious stone. The first foundation was jasper, the second sapphire, and the third chalcedony, and the fourth emerald. And the 12 gates were 12 pearls. Each one of the gates was respectively of one pearl, and the tree of the city was pure gold, like transparent glass. So here in Revelation, he also mentioned gold. So what was flowing in Genesis now is in in Revelation and is in the city of New Jerusalem. And medallion is a kind of a pearl. And we see pearl also mentioned in Revelation. And the 12 gates of New Jerusalem are 12 pearls. Of course, you may wonder where the pearl came from, medallion in Genesis. Those are not, oyster, they in the ocean, and then they produce the pearls. Those are not animal pearls. Those are the plant pearls. They are kind of resin, from the tree, and became pearls, So we see gold, and we also see pearls. Then in Genesis, it mentioned onyx stones. And in Revelation, you'll see there are 12 different kind of precious stones. So we see that the picture in Revelation explains what's in Genesis. The difference is, in Genesis, the gold are scattered in the river. And there were the pearls, and then there were bdellium, then there were the onyx stones. But now, in Revelation, they're all part of the city of New Jerusalem. So we see that one is in the beginning, they're scattered. And the other one, at the end of the Bible, in the New Jerusalem, they are built up. So we can see very clearly that the two pictures, they reflect one another. One is, you may say, is the blueprint. And the other one is the consummation. Is a final product. Praise the Lord for our God.
Amen.
So we see that the two in the beginning and the end of the Bible, the two chapters are very, very meaningful. Let me just continue concerning the matter of the tree of life and the river. One is for food, the other one is for drink. And this thought concerning the food, it goes through the whole Bible. After Genesis is the book of Exodus. Exodus is concerning God brought his people out of Egypt into the good land. And along the way, when God was bringing them through the wilderness into the good land, we have the verse in Exodus 17. Maybe we can read the verse together. Then I will be standing before you there upon the rock in Horeb, and you shall strike the rock, and water will come out of it, so that the people may drink. And Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel. And Numbers also mentioned concerning the water coming out from the rock. Then Moses lifted up his hand and struck the rock with his rod twice, and abundant water came forth, and the assembly and their livestock drank. The time in Exodus 17 and the Numbers 20, there are two different times. In Exodus 17 was when the children of Israel, they came out of Egypt. In Numbers, if you read the context, and Moses' elderly sister, Miriam, died. But then the people were thirsty, and God told Moses to speak to the rock, and the rock should come out of water. But Moses disobeyed, disbelieved. So he hit the rock twice, and water still came out to quench the people. This is for the drinking. Exodus 17 mentioned about the drinking. Exodus 16 mentioned about the manna. Manna is the bread from heaven. In the wilderness they don't have any provisions. So God rained bread from heaven for them to eat. So today we are the same. We are going on and with the Lord every day. We need the heavenly bread. We need the water coming out from the rock. So we see the food and we see the drink. Then in Psalm 36, 8 and 9, we can read that verse also. They are saturated with the fatness of your house, and you cause them to drink of the river of your pleasures. Okay, that's good enough. So again, the psalmist mentioned about the enjoyment, you know, saturated with the fatness of God's house. And God makes us to drink the river of his pleasures. You know, again, it's the eating and drinking. So we see in the Old Testament, this matter is mentioned very much. And if you come to the New Testament, again, it's mentioned, you know, when the Lord Jesus was on the earth, we had a verse in John 7 mentioned about, you know, the. We can also use John 4. John 4, with the Samaritan woman, you know, the Lord gave him a drink, you know. In chapter 7, the great day of the feast, the Lord stood up and cried out, saying, if anyone thirst, let him come to me and drink. You know, so there was the drinking in John chapter 7. And before John chapter 7 is John chapter 6. John chapter 6, after the Lord fed the 5,000, then, you know, the Lord sent the people away. Then he sent the disciples across the sea, and eventually, you know, the Lord also went to the other side. Then the people was looking for the Lord. Then the Lord asked them, why are you seeking the food that perishes? So the Lord spoke, eating of the living bread, that is the bread that the Lord gave them. In fact, that is just the Lord himself. So we see again the matter of eating the living bread and drinking the living water. And at the end of the Bible, Revelation, again the Lord mentioned this, you know, to the church of to the church in Ephesus. You know, the Lord told them, he who overcomes, he will give to eat of the tree of life. Then to the church in Pergamos, he mentioned about the hidden manna. Then to the church in Laodicea, he mentioned, anyone hear the Lord's voice and opens the door, and the Lord will come into him and feast with him. This we see. The eating the tree of life, that's in the very beginning. Eating the manna is in the wilderness. And the feasting is when they enter into the good land with abundance of food, you know, for their satisfaction. So we see the matter of eating and drinking, it goes through the whole Bible. So today, we as Christians, what should we do? We should drink and we should eat. You know, the Lord Jesus said, as the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father. So he who eats me shall also live because of me. You know, that's why today, of course, the Lord is not talking, you know, people think the Lord talk about eating and drinking. You know, the Lord said, unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no life in yourself. People say, how come the Lord, you know, talk about eating him? But he doesn't mean that you go to him and bite him up, have a bite. He said, the flesh profits nothing. But the word I spoke to you, they are spirit and they are life. You know, so we, every day, we should come to the word and join the word. And join the drink and join the food in the word. There will be a for our going on with the Lord. You know, the children of Israel, when they go through the wilderness, they need to eat, they need to drink, so they can follow the cloud, follow the pillar of fire, and go on with the Lord, and enter into the good land. So we see very clearly. Okay, we come back to, in this portion that we cover, in Genesis 2, verses 10 through 15. Here, the striking thing is concerning the river. In the Bible, you know, I don't know about you, when I read the river of water of life, I had a little problem. I don't know whether you have a problem or not. The river is water anyway, right? Why mention about the river of water of life? There is a difference, I realize. A river has a lot more waters. You know, this morning they gave me a cup. There's water inside, but not much water, you know. I may just have one drink and it's finished. But a river, you can't finish a river. Thank God for the brothers. Give me the water. I need them. Okay, so in the Bible, it mentioned the water, you know, the water of life. Of course, the water of life is in Revelation 22, verse 1 and 2. It mentioned the river, also the river of water of life. The water of life also mentioned, you know, that the river out of the cleft rock, that's water, you know, because the children of Israel, they were thirsty. So God caused the rock, you know, hit by Moses to cleave, and the water came out. So that is the water to quench their thirst. And in Psalm 46, verse 4, there also mentioned about, you know, the river. Of course, the river with the water. And in Psalm 36, mentioned that drinking the water, the river of your pleasures. So these are the verses in the Old Testament show us, you know, the water supplying God's people. This is also symbolized by a picture in the New Testament. When the Lord Jesus was crucified on the cross, something came out. That is in John 19, verse 34. Maybe we can read a verse together. John 19:34. But one of the soldiers pierced his side with a spear, and immediately there came out blood and water. I used to think, you know, you mentioned the blood came out, that's good enough. Why you mentioned water? Because it's very meaningful. Blood is for redemption, because the Bible says without the shedding of blood there is no forgiveness of sins. So for us sinners, for us to be redeemed, for our sins to be washed away, we need the blood of the Lord. But God's desire is not just to cleanse us. God's desire is to for us to receive the living water. That's why the water also came out. So water referring to the divine life. The Lord flowed out through his death, you know. Just like the grain of seed. Unless it falls into the ground and die, the life will not be released. So when the Lord died on the cross, not only the blood was shed to cleanse us, but also the life was released in order to regenerate us. So we are the many grains. This morning we had the Lord's table. The piece of bread is not made of one grain. It's not just, of course, it referring to the Lord's body broken for us, but it also refers to that in his resurrection, the many grains were brought forth. And we also compose that bread. So on one hand, that bread referring to the Lord's physical body. On the other hand, that bread also referring to the Lord's mystical body. That is all of us as a part of that one bread. So maybe we can continue concerning the river. Concerning the river, it's not simple just a river, you know. When I was a child, when I was in elementary school, we went out, you know, with a class, and the teacher brought us to look for the fountain of the river, you know. So they brought us to the source.
I'm sorry to interrupt. There's a very irate neighbor outside. There's a black Toyota Highlander blocking a driveway. License plate DSM6676. Or it could be D5M6676. If that's your car, please move it. Sorry.
Sure. No problem. Yeah. So the river, in fact, it's not just a river, you know, just flowing. Of course, it mentioned about a river went forth from Eden. It's not just suddenly a river came out. A river came out from the spring. A spring came from the fountain. So the teacher brought us to the where the fountain is. Of course, the fountain you can't see. When the fountain, you know, emerges, or the water springs up, then you can see the water. Then when the water flows, it keeps flowing, then it became, starting with a little trickle of water, then eventually it became, you know, a lot of water, a river, you know. You know, when the children of Israel, the Lord brought them out of Egypt through the wilderness into the good land. And in the Bible, it's the first thing mentioned about in the good land is concerning the water. Maybe you can read the verse in Deuteronomy 8:7-9. Let's read together. For Jehovah your God is bringing you to a good land, a land of water brooks, of springs, and of fountains, flowing forth in valleys and in mountains, a land of wheat and barley, and vines, and fig trees, and pomegranates, a land of olive trees with oil and of honey, a land in which you will eat bread without scarcity. You will not lack anything in it. A land whose stones are iron, and from whose mountains you can mine copper. So here he mentioned that in the good land, there were water brooks, and there were springs, and there were fountains. Just like, you know, the following verse, a land of wheat. Wheat signify Christ, because Christ mentioned as a grain of wheat falling into the ground and die. So the wheat is a type of crucified Christ. The same thing is the water brooks and the springs and the fountains. They are referring to the triune God. Let's read some of the verses and we can see this matter. Psalm 36 verse 9. That's just underneath. Yeah, so, okay, let's read together. 8 and 9, let's read together. They are saturated with the fatness of your house, and you cause them to drink of the river of your pleasures. For with you is the fountain of life. In your light we see light. So we can see Da is the fountain of life. Maybe we can continue to read Jeremiah 2:13. For my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, to hew out for themselves cisterns, broken cisterns, which hold no water. So two evils the Lord mentioned his people in the Old Testament, they committed. The first is to forsake God as the fountain of living water. And the second is, of course, hewed out for themselves cistern which cannot hold any water. So our God He is the fountain. He is the fountain. Then the, concerning the spring, we can see in the New Testament, in John, we can read John 7:37-39. Let's read those verses together.
Now,
on the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who believes into me, the spiritual said, out of his innermost being shall flow rivers of living water. But this he said concerning the Spirit, and those who believe into him are about to receive. Jesus was not yet glorified." So here I mentioned that, you know, when we drink the Lord and he comes into us, all of our innermost being will flow rivers of living water. And this he speaks concerning the Spirit. So the Spirit is the river. And in John 4 also mentioned that when we are, John 4, 13 and 14, it mentioned that, you know, with the Samaritan woman, the Lord told the Samaritan woman that, you know, the woman came to draw water from the well. The Lord said, anyone drink this well, this water shall thirst again. But he who drinks the water that I will give him shall by no means thirst forever. The water I will give him shall become in him a spring of water. Or you can translate also a fountain of water. Spring up into eternal life. So the Lord himself, when we drink him, in fact, we're not just drinking a little water. The water came in and it became a fountain. And he also springing up, you know, and to quench us all the time that we shall not thirst anymore. Amen. So we see our God is a flowing triune God. Amen. And he wants us to drink him. He wants to flow out of himself and into all of us. So, I don't know about you. When I read this, you know, this past week verses, I said, my, there are a lot of water here. It's just not a little water. Imagine in Ezekiel, you know, the water was so much. And you can swim. Of course, you can drink also. I don't know if anybody, you know, when they are swimming, they are drinking. But anyway, we can do both. Maybe you can read the verses in Ezekiel 47. Firstly, he mentioned where the water came from. Verse 1. Then he brought me back to the entrance of the house, and there was water flowing out from under the threshold of the house to the east. For the house faced east, and the water flowed down below the south side of the house, on the south of the altar. You know, since let me just mention this. I love to be here. Why? There's water.
Amen.
And there's a river.
Amen.
You know, of course, you mentioned about the water came out of the threshold, underneath the threshold of the house. If you read down, we didn't have time to read all the verses. This water is start flowing, and it reaches to the ankle first. Then it reaches to the knee. Then it reaches to the loins. And eventually, you cannot walk. You can only swim. So God's life, abundance of life, supplying us, eventually we just gave up. We just let the water carry us. Praise God for the church life.
Amen.
Here we have abundance of water.
Amen.
For us to drink and for us to go on. Okay, let's read on for the rest of the verses in Ezekiel. Then he measured 1,000 cubits, and it was a river that I could not pass through, for the water had risen, enough water to swim in, a river that could not be crossed. And he said to me, Son of man, have you seen this? Then he led me and brought me back along the bank of the river. And every living creature which swarms in every place where the river goes shall live. And there will be many fish when this water comes there. And the water of the sea shall be healed. And everything shall live wherever the river comes. Praise God. I'm living because I got water. The river reached me. So, praise the Lord. At the end, let's just read two verses. You know, for eternity, we will be drinking this water. Let's read Revelation 21, 6 and 17. And he said to me, they have come to pass.
I am the Alpha and the Omega,
beginning and the end. I will give him to eat from the spring of the water of life freely. And the Spirit and the Bride say, come. And let him who hears say, come. And let him who is thirsty come. Let him who wills take the water of life freely. You know, here the Bride is already came forth, you know. And even to the extent, whatever the Spirit says, the Bride says it. And even the two says it together. Two are speaking as one. But even for eternity, when we are one with the Lord, we will be still drinking the living water.
Amen.
And drinking the living water is just enjoying the Spirit.
Amen.
Enjoying the Spirit will bring forth the mention about all of his innermost being shall flow rivers of living water.
Amen.
And these rivers of living water are just the fruit of the Spirit. And we have the verses in Galatians chapter 5. Maybe we can read that verse. Galatians 5, 22 and 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, meekness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. I just mentioned a testimony. I enjoy this past Thursday night, a young college brother shared this. You know, every morning he spent a little time with the Lord in the Word and pray with some of the saints. And then he mentioned that he was driving in Flushing. There was a stop sign there in four directions. And he stopped at the stop sign, then he go. There was another car coming. He thought the other car coming should stop. But the car didn't stop. So they met right in the, you know, on the where the two streets meet. And he was angry, and he was staring at the other guy. Then when he continued, and the Lord touched him, what are you doing? He realized he should not stare at the other guy. So he just repented to the Lord. I should not be angry. You know what's that? That is the river of kindness. Our God does not stare at people in the way that, you know, we're angry at people. But our God is a God of kindness. You know, all these items, they are rivers. Since when you share something, when you are patient, you know, you are patient, you are not bothered by people in the traffic, right? And I think we all maybe bothered by traffic. But when you have the river of patience, you just enjoy the Lord, enjoy Him as the river of patience. So saints, I think we all have many experiences, you know. The river of love, the river of joy, the river of long-suffering, river of kindness, you know, all this. So may we continue to drink.
Amen.
And may we continue to flow.
Amen.
Our God is a flowing triune God.
Amen.
And He is not just satisfied with Him flowing out into us, and He wants to flow out through all of us.
Amen.
So we all can be watered, and we all can be transformed. Those are the precious stones. They are produced through the flowing river. Let's remain in the river, drink in the river, enjoy in the river, flow in the river, so we all can be transformed. That we all may mature, you know. And there's a hint, how we treasure the sweet flow of life. May your coming, at your coming, may life be my crown. So let's keep enjoying life. Okay, well, I'll stop here. Maybe you can then have the language prophesy meeting. Amen.